Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
The observation that I had last night was that it looked like Ohio State kind of didn't belong. Justin Fields couldn't do what Fields did against Clemson. Devontae Smith and Alabama, Najee Harris, just ran roughshod, wide open spaces, breaking tackles, long touchdown runs. It just looked like Alabama was on a totally different level, and Ohio State kind of didn't belong in that game. And I was reminded that that's not fair to the Buckeyes. Ohio State belonged to the national championship game. Ohio State was the second best team of the country. That's just how much better Alabama was last night and this year. That's how dominant Alabama was this season. And because the Crimson Tide are so regularly great, I think we oftentimes get just kind of muddled in our brains about Alabama always being great. And they're always very good, but they're not always like this year. You know, they play for national championship almost every season, but they can be had. We've seen Clemson do it. We've seen this Ohio State program do it a couple of years ago in the Sugar Bowl. We've seen Bama lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. We've seen them lose to LSU like last year. This Alabama team, in terms of talent and coaching, was such a cut above everybody else in college football this season. And because of everything that swirled around this college football season, postponements, kids being ineligible to play, delays, cancellations, shortened seasons, conferences playing different conference schedules, no fans, little fans, because of all of that, you can make the argument this is Nick Saban's greatest coaching job ever. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Mack straight drop. Mack looks long. Mack finds Devontae behind the defense. He is in for a touchdown. Thank you, Mr. Heisman. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien, and Unitas Award winner. What a combination. 44 yards, touchdown, Alabama.
You're talking about the ultimate warrior and the ultimate competitor, and I'm so happy for him that he was recognized as the best player in college football, because I don't think anybody's done more for their team than he has for our team.
I think we're the best team to ever play. I mean, there's no team that will ever play SEC schedule like that again, but at the same time, we're just so happy to have won this game and kind of put the icing on the cake. You know, there was not a lot of pressure. We just wanted to go out there and play the game that we've been playing since we were all 5 years old, so we did that really well.
That is it. The final score, Bama 52, Ohio State 24. Alabama does it. 10 regular season SEC wins, an SEC championship, a Rose Bowl championship, and national championship number 18.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That audio courtesy of Eli Gold in Alabama Radio. That was Nick Saban talking about his unbelievable wide receiver and Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith. And that was quarterback Mac Jones as well, saying that this is the greatest Alabama team ever. Let's start with Nick Saban. Here is Saban's national championships. 03 LSU. 09 Bama. 11 Bama. 12 Bama, 15 Bama, 17 Bama, 2020 Bama. I mean, think about how dominant that resume is. Just at Alabama alone, Nick Saban's won in 09, 11, 12, 15, 17, 20. there have been amazing Alabama teams, and every one of them has a claim to the legacy of that program. But here is what you can make the case for this year. Bama's never played a 10-game SEC schedule. Bama played a 10-game SEC schedule and also didn't have any of those patsies and workarounds and cupcakes that they normally do to fatten up and to have a breather before they go into their next conference game. So Bama never had the breather this year that previous Bama teams have had. Also, you could make the argument when the season opened up that Jalen Waddle was their best player. They lose Jalen Waddle, a wide receiver, early in this season. And next man up wins the Heisman. They hypothetically had the Heisman Trophy winner on the roster, and he got injured, so another guy won the Heisman. And not to be outdone, but Mac Jones, their quarterback, came in second place in the Heisman as well. So Alabama hypothetically had what? Or no, they had Mac Jones came in third. They hypothetically had three of the four or five best players in football this year. Also, for Bama, this season was pockmarked with a lot of challenges, and every one of these programs dealt with it. But for Nick Saban, whether it was how strict he was with them, social distancing, wearing masks, making sure that they were accountable about where they had been. I mean, these are college kids at the end of the day. Even if Alabama reminds you of a professional organization, they are college kids, and so many other programs had outbreaks. Ohio State had its own problems all year long with playing games and having positive tests, and Alabama did not. And so that hyper-discipline that Saban brings to the table in terms of coaching also was on full display this year in how they stayed safe. So I do think you could make the argument that because of the schedule, because of the circumstance, because of the scenario, and because of still how dominant Alabama was, that this is Nick Saban's greatest coaching job ever. I would also say, though, it's hard to put your finger on just how great Saban's coaching job is year to year to year. They're all great, and he is the greatest college football coach of all time. It's hard to do so just because the talent is overwhelming. I mean, last night, Devontae Smith essentially sets every bowl or national championship game record in the first half. In the first half, you know, for Alabama, you lose one great quarterback and you just plug the next one in Mac Jones. You have Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram in recent years to win national championships, and now you have Najee Harris. The list just goes on and on and on. And this is a bigger question for college football. Kirk Herbstreit said the other day, we have the worst postseason out of any sport. Wow, Kirk Herbstreit admitted that. Why? He said, because right now, today, I can tell you who's going to be in the playoff next year. Ohio State out of the Big Ten, Clemson out of the ACC, Alabama out of the SEC. And that's not good for business. And he's right. I want to make sure that we give all the accolades to Alabama because they deserve it. But in college football, it is very obvious the playoff didn't spread the wealth. The playoff just continues to monopolize the wealth. And we thought that maybe because of the college football playoff that four teams would break in and you could win a national championship that way, that you could have an underdog, that maybe recruits would go to those places. But ultimately, there are three programs that everybody's chasing, and we just named them. And so Alabama still has their pick of the litter every single year. Now, they recruit great. I mean, really unbelievably great. But they're also helped out by this vicious cycle where the best programs get the best talent because they're the best programs, because they play in the best games, so they get the best talent because they're the best programs. And they stay the best programs because they have the best talent and they play in the biggest games. And this is why I talked about how Dabo Swinney did an amazing job getting Clemson into this party. But as long as he cares a little bit, they'll never exit the party. You have to have a head coach that leaves or gets real fat and happy, real lazy. as long as you work a little bit and Saban works his ass off every single year, as long as Dabo doesn't get bored or totally egocentric, as long as Ryan Day doesn't get totally bored, I mean, Ohio State dealt with it, a coaching change, and Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, and it still worked, they'll be this great for as long as they want to be this great. And that's the issue with college football. They've got to figure out a solution to that, because for Alabama to basically have the best talent and the best coach for 15 years or 13 years leaves everybody else totally in the dust. Ohio State was the second best team in the country this year. They were just at nowhere near a level of Alabama. And I thought that they could keep it close last night. They couldn't. Quarter and a half, they could. Four quarters, no way.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We begin with basketball, and Nets head coach Steve Nash still has no idea what's going on with Kyrie Irving. Here's Brooklyn's head coach.
I'm not sure. I know, like, Kevin did some home workouts, you know, when he was gearing back up until he was cleared to come in the facility. So I think that's, for the most part, you know, it depends. If you're tested every day, you know, maybe it's different, but I'm not sure.
What are the quarantine rules for Kyrie Irving when he comes back? When will he come back? Why isn't he there? Who knows? It's happy days in Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving. And, you know, we tend to kind of qualify Kyrie as confusing, malcontent, difficult, uncoachable, things like this, selfish. I wonder if Kyrie's only going to get worse and worse and worse as his career weighs on and continues, that his behavior is unpredictable for all around him, and that this becomes less of Kyrie being Kyrie and some real concerns about his wiring, some real concerns about his decision making. Because this one's weird. This one is a different kind of thing where you're just MIA and you don't want to tell anybody anything. It's the middle of the season and everybody around you has to continually kind of explain it except you. I just wonder if we're going to stop looking at Kyrie as just kind of like a flighty head case and more along the lines of self-destructive. I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully not. But this one is really weird. We're just talking incessantly about, who knows? We don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Here's Andy Reid as the Kansas City Chiefs will play their first playoff game this upcoming weekend against the Cleveland Browns.
I don't feel any different than I did last year at this time. I'm just trying to make sure all our focus is on the Browns. And you know, everybody had a chance to see how good they are, and it'll take all of that. I mean, you know, we've got to make sure that we keep our eye right on that.
It's an interesting scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs, one that they have not felt in their history for 50 years. And that is the favorite that everybody else is trying to take down without any question marks about whether they can do it. For years in the 90s, Marty Schottenheimer and the Chiefs were great. But there was always the, yeah, but January. Yeah, but the playoffs. Yeah, but they'll find a way to lose. And they had to prove it to themselves, to critics, to the rest of the league, that they could do it, and they never could. Dick Vermeil's Kansas City Chiefs. Well, their offense is great, but their defense, they won't be able to sustain it in the playoffs, and certainly that's exactly what happened. Andy Reid in Kansas City. The Chiefs are really good, but they'll find a way to lose. Andy Reid will find a way to lose because Andy Reid's always found a way to lose. And today, you can't say that. Today, the narrative would be in previous years, well, how will the Chiefs lose? How will Andy Reid find a way to lose? And now it's totally different. We expect the Chiefs to win because they've got the all-time quarterback. They've got a great head coach. They've got the all-time talent surrounding them. They've got an incredible team that gets it done and got it done when it mattered most last year. That's a funny thing, that once things change, they kind of change permanently. I talked about that with the Browns yesterday. Once the Browns won a playoff game like they did on Sunday night, everything changed. Now you can't say, well, they can't win a playoff game. Just like now you can't say, well, Andy Reid can't win a championship. And finally, here is Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool, who obviously was embarrassed by the Browns, their hated rivals, especially after his teammate Juju Smith-Schuster had said, Browns is the Browns, same old Browns, which became a rallying cry for Cleveland. He was on Twitch, and you can watch us on Twitch, on the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. And as he's playing video games and talking to folks, he got in one last jab at the Cleveland Browns.
You know, bad loss, but Browns are going to get clapped next week, so it's all good.
Browns are going to get clapped next week. It's all good. Look, it's not some type of three-minute diatribe on the Browns, but it's also a totally cheesy, immature look. I mean, they just handed it to you. They just beat your breaks, and here you are saying, well, they're going to lose next week, so it's all good. It's all good. I mean, this is the new reality for the Steelers. They were used to being bullies. They were used to making fun of the Browns. They were used to watching the Browns make their mistakes and fumble all over the field and always just be the punchlines. And it's hard when a team or a player is no longer the punchline anymore, especially for the guys that actually do the playing. So for Chase Claypool and the Steelers, they better look themselves in the mirror. The Browns are still playing. You're not. Unfortunately for you, you no longer reserve the right to be able to make judgments of the team still playing, especially when they beat you. And that's your sound check. It is a Trash Tuesday, boys and girls. So Pete the Body Bilotti, why not get some trashes ready, some trash drops ready, because we've got some trashes to get to. Here's from Alex on Twitter. DA, I'm trashing waking up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the gym and lose weight. I mean, like, why can't weight just burn off while you eat Twinkies and sauerkraut? Trash it.
Are those maggots?
Sauerkraut's actually probably not that bad for you. It's the Twinkies that'll get you. Hopefully you're not eating both at the same time. We'll do our Trash Tuesday coming up here on the show in just a little bit. So get your trashes in. DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Going back to last night, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Mraz, what do you think? With everything that surrounded a COVID college football season, could this be Nick Saban's greatest coaching job ever?
Yes, because to keep college players in check like this, to make sure you go out there every week and not have those layup Alabama A&M type games and have to play the entire SEC schedule, it has to be. And DA, if it wasn't for Lane Kiffin basically treating playing Bama like it was a Madden game, going forward and fourth down, really trying to avoid punting, the only game in which Alabama wouldn't have won by three scores would have been the SEC title game. To go through the SEC conference, winning every game by three scores, and then go through the college football playoff like that versus Notre Dame and Ohio State, and only have Ole Miss by 15 points and the 8-point win versus Florida in the SEC title game, I sat here and watched this whole Nick Saban run. I am in awe. This has to be, on top of all the COVID stuff, the best coaching job he has done to date.
Well, and that SEC championship game was not as close as the final score would indicate. I mean, that was Bama by a lot until some late touchdowns by the Gators.
Right, but nonetheless, I mean, look, the final score is the final score. Other than that, they pounded on everybody and gave everybody no hope. And this was another, you know, situation last night where everybody thought, okay, the spread is only a touchdown. Ohio State's going to hang around. And it's 35-17, and it's as if they had literally nobody that could run with Devonta Smith. I mean, to the point where they had a linebacker covering him on that one touchdown. It was a disaster.
Yeah, and in that SEC championship game, at one point, Alabama led 35-17 and 52-38. So it really wasn't that close. This was a season where I think what we've seen in COVID era is that the best teams are still the best teams. And that when you have a great coach like Saban and great talent like Alabama does, it might even create more of a separation amongst the other programs and the other teams. We've seen the Lakers win a championship. We've seen the Dodgers win a championship. We've seen the Lightning win a championship, and they were preseason favorites by many people. And now we've seen Alabama win a championship. All of those teams were favorites and powerhouses and preseason picks. And I think it goes to show you that when you're a great coach or you've got a great staff and you've got great talent, you are able to navigate all the pitfalls far better than everybody else. And so there belongs no asterisk on any of these champions because they are that good. And for Alabama this year, they were that much better than everybody else. The SEC wasn't great this year, but they also played a 10-game SEC schedule. They never played 10 SEC games. And they blew out everybody, basically. So Alabama's the national champion once again. More details on this with our kind sir and good friend, Andrew Bogish. Andrew, good morning, AB.
DA, good morning to you as well. It was an overwhelming finish to an overwhelming season. Alabama completing the perfect season with a 52-24 rout of Ohio State in Miami last night. Ryan Day's Buckeyes tried, but failed to slow down the tide.
We didn't finish a couple of those drives, didn't get the fourth down conversion, two of them, and they continued to make big plays, and they got up, I think, four scores on us, and we couldn't quite keep up.
This was just a four-point game, though, in the second quarter, but then Devontae Smith caught touchdown passes 91 seconds apart just before halftime. And that was it. The Heisman Trophy winner caught 12 passes for 215 yards and three scores in the first half.
Heavens knows what he'd have done if he'd have played the whole
game. Nick Saban didn't have Smith in the second half because of a dislocated finger that wouldn't undislocate, but it didn't matter. Mac Jones threw for five scores total. Najee Harris caught one of them and ran for two more. Just the Tide's sixth national title in the last 12 years. Number seven for Saban, breaking his tie with Bear Bryant for the most all time. We jump now to pro football, where the Eagles fired Doug Peterson after five seasons and the one Super Bowl title in team history.
That was quick.
After their second meeting since the season ended.
Wasn't that long ago that they were celebrating a Super Bowl and getting drunk in downtown Philadelphia? A couple years later, Doug Peterson's out of a job.
Owner Jeffrey Lurie disagreed with Peterson's vision for their future, apparently. Peterson may now be the favorite for the Jets job because of his connection with GM Joe Douglas. Can't wait for that. Jets interviewed Titans OC Arthur Smith and old friend Aaron Glenn for their vacancy yesterday. Smith also spoke with the Falcons and Chargers. He's up with the Lions today. And the Cowboys have hired Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator.
What could go wrong?
A few things. He ran the Seahawks defense before becoming the Falcons head coach. The Mavericks and Pelicans didn't play last night. The Bulls and Celtics won't play this evening. And the Heat might not play in Philly, all because of COVID. Ooh. As for those who did play last night, the Blazers snuck past the Raptors 112-111. The Kings outscored the Pacers 127-122. Milwaukee rolled through Orlando 121-99. And Gordon Hayward earned his cash against the Knicks.
Into the action, Biombo gives to a cutting Gordon Hayward, and he slams it over Nerlens Noel, plus the foul.
That is Sam Farber on Hornets Radio. Hayward's on his way to 34 points.
This is great. It feels like Gordon Hayward highlights have a laugh track. I think Pete is editing audio back at the studio, and it's bleeding through. Wait. And so when Bogish plays a clip, you could actually hear old DA show audio behind it.
Standard equipment here.
But what the odd thing is that my computer has been a mess since last week. When I ran an update. It's like, here, run an update. Make things better. It's only made things worse. Mm. Like right now, I can't hear myself. I can hear you. I can hear the cut. I can't hear myself in my headphones. And that audio is coming through like my computer speaker, which is supposed to be off right now because my microphone is plugged in. So this is not Pete's fault. This is somehow on my end, and I don't know what the problem is. But I'll fix it maybe. Next hour. We'll see. Although this is fun.
We'll get an engineer on that to your house coming up here. He'll be there in March of 2022.
Funny you should mention that. This is not going to be my tweet, my trash. I didn't want to trash our company, but I did last week send a note about it. About logging into my email. I sent this last Tuesday. A guy wrote back yesterday as if it didn't take 6 days to get back to me about having my email locked. So that was fun.
Well, that's how long it takes for our emails to get to one another. You get it about 6 days later. It's like passenger pigeon.
But it gets there. That's all that matters.
College hoops last night. Number 25, UConn held off DePaul 60-53, and the White Sox reportedly signing the top available reliever, former A's righty Liam Hendricks. It's a 3-year deal worth $54 million. The last 15 mil of that is either a buyout or a club option for a fourth season. DA, mercifully, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Now, Mraz, you're wearing an Ohio State Buckeyes jersey today. Is that a Maurice Clarett jersey?
This is a Maurice Clarett jersey, and this was for a couple reasons. Number one, the fact that I took it out before the game thinking if there's a chance Ohio State upsets, I'd look cool wearing an Ohio State jersey today, and my clothes are already out, and I couldn't re-wake my wife up this morning. Number two, it's actually, I had this junior year in high school, so the fact that it fits well, I just want to show that I'm not as fat as I looked yesterday when I was choking on a chicken bone.
Wow. So you can still fit into something that you fit into in high school.
Yep. XL, too. Big XL, folks. So for all the fat jokes that I got yesterday on Twitter when they saw me choking, how fat's Mraz? Mraz is going to drop dead of a heart attack. I am fitting perfectly in an extra large jersey from the year 2004. So everybody wanted to call me fat yesterday, and I was going to drop dead on set. Just know I'm good to go.
Is that jersey cut bigger than your normal jersey?
No, this is a standard XL Nike jersey from the year 2004. Now, I will say, yes, they make the fabric a little, like, tighter knit. These are, like, the old mesh style. Uh-huh. So I understand there probably is more room to breathe, but it's not like I personally resized this thing to fit me like it's a tent.
And why are you wearing a hat, and what hat is that?
Well, I'm wearing the hat.
Is that your national championship hat?
No, this is a hat I got for my wife for Christmas that simply has my Twitter handle on it. So,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. And you want to take shots at Schwartz for self-promotion?
No, this was laying out. And again, my head looked so shiny yesterday. I think I need to mix up wearing hats on set. I am looking balder and fatter and more like Uncle Fester with every clip that gets posted on Twitter. So I am now very self-conscious. I got bombarded yesterday by people. You're going to die. You're going to die. And people taking solace in that I'm going to die.
Now, did your wife get you a hat that simply has your Twitter handle on it as kind of a gag gift? Or do you really want a hat to be a walking billboard to promote yourself?
It's on your Christmas list.
It is absolutely gotten by her as a gag gift because she thinks I have an ego and I need to be put in check. She said, oh, you think so highly of yourself here? Walk around with your Twitter handle on it. So it was a total joke. And also, our old landlord before we bought a house is like a comic with puppets. And he, whatever you call those guys, like the Jeff Dunhams.
A ventriloquist?
Ventriloquist. And he's a bad one, right? So anyway, every time we would go to like a bar with him or like, you know, occasionally you'd see him out, he'd always have the t-shirt promoting his shows and stuff. And we always made fun of him for it. So she wanted to give me this as a way to make fun of it. The problem is the hat's become so comfortable now. It's become so comfortable. So I am wearing it.
A, I love Danielle because these are the types of gifts. Oh, you got an ego? Well, now walk around with your Twitter handle on your head. Okay, here you go. Number two, as I've always said, there's only one cauldron of ridiculousness that could have created the persona known as Mraz, West Babylon. His old landlord was a bad comedic ventriloquist. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, everybody else's landlord is just a normal person. His was a bad comic ventriloquist.
Hey, just pump out the best out there.
Never ceases to amaze.
But I'm fitting a high school jersey, DA 2004. It's 2021. It's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And you know what? I understand that there were some people that were very concerned about your health after chicken gate yesterday, chicken bone gate. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss later on in the show whether the concerns are valid, because at one point yesterday, you couldn't talk because you were choking on something you had eaten 2 days earlier.
Exactly.
And that's normally not what happens to the human body. So whatever we saw publicly between Peterson and Wentz clearly was not what was happening privately. Carson Wentz, rightfully or wrongfully, has felt like he has gotten mixed messages in coaching, in that Peterson has told him one thing, other coaches have told him other things, and that he has gone out there this past season and had basically two different voices in his head, and a lot of information that is maybe counterproductive, and that that screwed him over. And that while Doug Peterson has publicly defended him, Wentz felt as though he was put out as red meat and that he wasn't put in a position to succeed. And then when they pulled the plug on him to go to Jalen Hurts, it made him look bad. And yesterday, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of this organization, slathered tons of respect on Carson Wentz. Now, he did say that it was everybody's fault that this season was so bad and that Wentz definitely needed to play better as well, but was definitely optimistic that Carson Wentz could get back to his MVP form. And it leaves this, what is going on with Howie Roseman? Now, Roseman has oftentimes been the subject of a lot of criticism in Philadelphia for being the guy who's playing the politics. And remember when Chip Kelly got there, Roseman was pushed to the outside. Roseman got back in there once Chip Kelly was fired. But there's always been this very uncomfortable dynamic at play with Roseman and what his role is and how much control he has and who has the final say. And Roseman's roster this year was a disaster. I mean, let's face it. Yeah, there was injuries, but you know, that roster leaves a lot to be desired, and many of the draft picks recently have been busts, and Roseman held on to all of the guys that he won a Super Bowl with and has basically been giving them the big-time contracts and security as they've gotten older in age, and he has been very reticent to get away from those guys and to get rid of those guys. What you have here is a flaming rubble of Eagles dysfunction. And this is kind of what the Eagles have been for a long time. The way that they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago also kind of happened in crazy Eagles fashion, where Carson Wentz has to get injured, Nick Foles has to come in, Foles has to play the three games of his life, Doug Peterson has to call the craziest game of his life. They've got to pull out the Philly special. And then after winning, they have a statue built to Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. And then Carson Wentz doesn't know if he's the starter again. And there is a city divided and a media divided. I mean, this, even the way that they won was crazy and upended and very Philly-like. I think what happened here was that Doug Peterson is not the easiest guy to work with. Doug Peterson has quite a big ego, and I think Doug Peterson shoots from the hip. And I think sometimes that shooting from the hip, people go, you've got to be saved from yourself. You know, Andy Reid, the stories out of Kansas City is that the Chiefs didn't mind losing Doug Peterson, and Andy Reid didn't mind losing Doug Peterson. And Andy Reid kind of was like, yeah, maybe you should get your own job. You know, maybe you should get a head coaching job. Yeah, you know what, Doug, you'd be great there. You know, there was always this sense out of Kansas City that Reid didn't mind or wanted Peterson to move on. And I think Peterson's difficult to work with. I think Doug Peterson has a very strong opinion of himself, very strong opinions around him, is willing to challenge people and maybe be a bit of a drama queen. And I think that drives people up a wall. And I think behind the scenes, they're going, well, Doug, you don't do this well, so how about this solution? Well, Doug, do you have a plan here? And Jeffrey Lurie, the reports were that when they've met since week 17, again, he was going to keep his job after week 17. Whatever happened with Nate Sudfeld, that was not the break point. That they had meetings after that, and that Peterson had no clear plan on fixing anything. And that drove Lurie up a wall. The Jeffrey Lurie was like, well, how do we get better from 4-11-1? And Peterson didn't have a plan or wanted to keep the same things in place or is very vague about things. I think he can be kind of sloppy. I think he can shoot from the hip. I think maybe that Doug Peterson's not as button up as you'd want when you go 4-11-1. And I think that he bristled on Howie Roseman's control. Howie Roseman probably put a lot of the blame at Doug Peterson's feet. Carson Wentz behind the scenes is bickering about Doug Peterson. And what it leads to is Jeffrey Lurie going, okay, what's my easiest road to calming everything down? It's firing Doug Peterson. I think that's what this was. I think there was a bunch of brush fires going on. Peterson versus Wentz, Peterson versus Roseman, Wentz versus Jalen Hurts. And I think it becomes, you know what? The easiest road to putting out all the fires is to remove one guy. And it's not Carson Wentz. It is Doug Peterson. And now suddenly I can win back Carson Wentz as an organization. Now Howie Roseman's not bickering with Doug Peterson. And we can have a head coach that has a clearer vision of how we fix this. I think that was it. You know, it was like pulling the biggest or the most important block out of the Jenga board. This is how we're going to fix things. The biggest piece of the Jenga board is Doug Peterson. And we don't want this thing to wobble every year. We want it to be strong. So we got to pull one piece out and then build it back. And that's what they did yesterday. And I think Doug Peterson sunk himself. Peterson's not great at being diplomatic. And Doug Peterson also has a really high estimation of himself. I mean, he wins a Super Bowl and immediately writes a book and does a press tour during the offseason. Well, that could hinder some of your preparation time. So, look, I don't love the idea of hitching my saddle to Carson Wentz. And I certainly don't love hitching my wagon to Howie Roseman, because Roseman has proven that he's made plenty of bad decisions. But this was a what one size fits all fixes almost all of this. And so I think by doing this, you bring in a head coach that's going to win over Carson Wentz. You're not going to trade Carson Wentz. And you've got a head coach that's also going to be picked by Howie Roseman. And so they're going to have a better working relationship. And now it's up to Roseman to draft better players and have a better roster. And it's up to the head coach to maximize what you get from Carson Wentz. All of that's easier said than done. All of that's easier said than done. Frankly, I think that I would have come back with Doug Peterson, because Peterson has proven to be a playoff caliber head coach. You just won a Super Bowl with him 3 years ago. You went to the playoffs two other times. This year was a disaster. I mean, frankly, I think I would have ridden this thing with Doug Peterson another year. But behind the scenes, I think it became untenable in Jeffrey Lurie's eyes. And this is what had to be done. Now the pressure's really on Roseman, and it's on Wentz. Okay, you guys got your way. And Carson Wentz, I think, is a big baby, but you got your way. Now you've got to deliver. Now the guy that you don't like, you know, your enemy, your villain, is out of there. Now you have no excuses. Now you better deliver, both you guys, Roseman and Wentz. You won the power struggle. Now you better go deliver. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mraz, I know you hate Doug Peterson with a fiery passion. You've taken this personally that Doug Peterson laid down in Week 17, which prevented your beloved Giants from making the playoffs and getting beaten by the Buccaneers by two touchdowns. So my guess is you felt like Doug Peterson deserved what he got yesterday.
Well, deserved is weird. Let me just say this. Week 17 may have had nothing to do with it, but it also speaks then to further Eagle dysfunction, because if what Doug Peterson was doing, as you indicated, was getting a cue from ownership and management, it would mean that they had talked prior to Week 17 and he knew he was keeping his job. So I want to know what happened in the week since that happened. So did Doug Peterson go rogue in Week 17, and then that was part of his plan?
No, I think it's what I kind of laid out there. I think Week 17, they were all on the same page, and then, I mean, because they sat a bunch of other guys also. It's not like the head coach decides right who to sit. And then I think he went into those postseason meetings and had no game plan and no clarity and wanted to do things his way. And they were like, specifically Jeffrey Lurie was like, this is not a plan to get better.
Yeah, and I'm sure, though, I guess my point would be, Week 17, there was so much backlash that I wonder if Doug Peterson went into those post-meetings with a little bit of, like, you know, now my reputation's taking a hit, this is what
maybe
you wanted, and that's
yeah.
So I do I think there has to be some element to, because remember, now the Eagles, think about this, the Jets have already interviewed 8 head coaches. The Eagles are a week behind the clock now on replacing a head coach, so for this to have happened so late and not just have this figured out ahead of time, that meetings could happen after the fact and you not even have a plan, and now you're behind the eight ball of all these other teams hiring head coaches, is a huge dysfunction. I also think that maybe a lot of it, and probably a lot of it, is his relationship with Carson Wentz, because we talked so much about how hard Carson Wentz's contract would be to get rid of at the end of this year. And frankly, if you're the Eagles, what's probably best for the organization is to try to find a way and take a shot for Carson Wentz to work. And if it simply cannot work between him and Doug Peterson, that's not going to help this roster get any better, because you're only going to crush the roster if you got rid of Wentz. And let's not forget, Jim Schwartz last week announced he was done, he was leaving, he didn't want to re-up, so who knows how much he bickered with Doug Peterson. And right. Doug Peterson, as a head coach, basically, it's well known, has basically completely ignored the defense, and it was as if the team had two head coaches in Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson. And what the heck was Peterson's plan to replace Schwartz, because he has zero idea what he's doing defensively.
Yes, so you hit on a lot of important points there. I think the Carson Wentz thing is a big part of this. I think Jeffrey Lurie went into these postseason meetings and was like, okay, what's our solution at quarterback? And probably you have Doug Peterson going, you know what, screw him, trade him. And you have Howie Roseman, who said, I've invested all this draft capital in this guy. We can win with him. He was our pick. We need him. And probably there was this kind of three-person triangle. And taking Doug Peterson out has Howie Roseman supporting Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz no longer bickering with his head coach. And as you said, that Jim Schwartz thing is also really weird. That Schwartz has just said, I'm taking a year off from coaching. I'm just not coaching for a year. But he didn't say I'm retiring. He's right. Just not taking, he's taking the year off. So Peterson's difficult to work with. Wentz didn't trust him. Roseman thought that, you know, Peterson was too probably hard-headed. And Lurie probably just looked at Peterson and said, you're the biggest problem here out of everything. Right. We'll see if it works. I don't know. We'll see if it works. But things melted down after week 17. And it seems crazy that somebody that dysfunctional like Peterson could have won a Super Bowl among such difficult circumstances.
I think the good comp here, DA, is Harbaugh in the NFL. I think that
Jim Harbaugh.
I think this is probably one of those cases where Peterson is just one of those personalities where he'll do a good job. You might get through Super Bowl, NFC Championship, AFC Championships, whatever, like Harbaugh did. But ultimately, the lifespan, the shelf life before it just runs its course and everybody is beaten down and can't take you anymore is very short. And that's what happened with Jim Harbaugh, and that's what turned a lot of teams off. We had guys say this year why Harbaugh, there wouldn't be that appetite. And I'm sure there's an appetite immediately, and maybe the Jets are that feel for Peterson because he did win a Super Bowl. But there's a chance in 4 years we're looking at Peterson the same way we look at Harbaugh now, questioning the appetite, knowing he could do a good job, but it just runs its course.
Yeah, that might be right. And you might also have had this perfect storm where Carson Wentz, in a very difficult market, was too sensitive, and Carson Wentz didn't have the kind of alpha male ability to just go out there and execute no matter what the noise was. And that Howie Roseman might be behind the scenes a guy that pulls levers and manipulates. And so he might have been working against you. So it might have just been this kind of like perfect storm of everything blowing up despite winning a Super Bowl. But I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl in his second season as a head coach. His second season for a franchise that has never won a Super Bowl. And 3 years later, I mean, he gets fired. I mean, it's just like, whoa.
So Philly.
I mean, it's so Philly. Yeah, like life happens really fast. I mean, here today, gone tomorrow after winning the freaking Super Bowl. He has a statue. He has a statue. He got fired. He has a statue.
The statue hasn't even rusted yet, and he's fired.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, it is time to vent. Time to let us know what is aggravating you. And so you can tweet at me, DA on CBS. or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Mraz leads us off. Mraz, who are you trashing?
This is a semi-annual trash on this day every year, but I think I actually have an answer now. And it's not the start time or the length of time of the national championship game, but now we are playing this game on the annual Monday night, but it's off six NFL playoff games. Six! And honestly, yesterday, whether you're talking with friends or doing sports radio, you're recapping everything after Wildcard Weekend. There was less of a buildup and less of a buzz all day. Then the game gets here, and I know a lot of it has Alabama fatigue written all over it. The game's getting a blown out. And you're staring there bleary-eyed at halftime, and you're just drained from the football. But my answer here on a trash is, we've waited so long to play the stupid game anyway, and I know that you want to have a day of reaction like you're having today, so you're not being engulfed by the NFL. Move this game to the Thursday night of this week. This way, people feel like they only have to wake up and get through one more day of work. You have a full now 3 days removed from the NFL playoffs to kind of build that steam up again. And it's your primer with a day to react before you get into more NFL playoffs. I think this night, this Monday night coming off Wildcard Weekend, is the absolute worst to play a national championship game for college football buzz. And I've had it playing on this night. Trash it.
Trash them.
Are those maggots?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yesterday, we are wall-to-wall consumed by Wild Card Weekend. We have no time to fit in previewing the freaking national championship game. And there was a point on Sunday where I'm watching my 25th hour of football going, oh yeah, right, the national championship game is on Monday night. Oh yeah, that's coming up. Even tomorrow night or tonight would be better than last night, because at least then we could have spent all day today previewing the national championship game, but then reviewing it and reacting to it tomorrow. But it does seem totally lost. This year's national championship game was totally lost amongst the COVID and the weird season and the playoff more than I think any other year before as well. Andrew Bogus is next up. Bogues, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm going to piggyback off of Sean's microwave takedown from last week and trash toaster ovens this week. This has been a long back and forth in my family. My wife and I have lived together for 20 years now, 18 years. It's been a long time in sharing the same space. She's a big toaster oven believer. I just need a regular toaster. I've done nothing other than toast bread in a toaster oven. And the inconsistency that bothers Sean on the microwave front is magnified, amplified in a toaster oven. You can't get two consistently well toasted, and it's got a bazillion settings, but still not one of them gives me consistently the kind of toast that I want. And since I'm not making tuna melts or reheating things in the toaster oven, get them all out.
I smell rotten eggs.
Mraz, you have the same problem?
Yes, although I just recently started getting these like flaxseed pitas, and I realized I could not fit them in a regular toaster. It's the first time, I'm with you, Bogues, that I've actually had use for the toaster oven, but I'm a big, just give me the regular toaster, two slices, hit the button, pops up, Pop-Tarts as well. Basically, if it's bread or Pop-Tarts, it's all I need the toaster for anyway. And especially with the air fryer now for reheating, toaster oven outdated.
Yeah, and the air fryer has, at least mine does, a toaster option. I haven't really used it because I use the regular toaster, but Mraz, have you ever used the toaster setting on the air fryer?
Mine does not have a toaster setting, and I didn't know this existed, DA, so now I guess I'm back in line for a new Christmas list for next year.
Yeah, my air fryer, I feel, is almost like the robot from the Jetsons. It does everything. It was like meant to eliminate every other appliance in the house. So I haven't used the toaster setting, but you know, with that, you don't even have to do the toaster oven if you're Bogues anymore there. Bogues, do you have the air fryer?
We have an air fryer, but I apparently have the bottom of the line one because mine does not toast. It just air fries. So I'm with Sean on that front.
I'm not sure mine does either. It just says it does. It just has one of those settings. It's like a Betty Crocker stove. Okay, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
DA, I am trashing game show contestants that constantly feel the need that need to dance whenever their name is mentioned or whenever they get a right answer.
Yeah.
So what? You got a right answer, you're going to lose the whole round anyway, but you're able to bust a move. Enough dancing. Don't need to dance on the game show all the time. Get him out.
Yeah.
This must be garbage time.
I know. Who of us hasn't sat down to watch a game show and thought to themselves, these people are too happy. These people are would you just quit with the joy? I know you're on television. I know you're in line to just win some money. I know this is a story you'll tell your kids and your grandkids forever, but can you just tone down the joy here?
Yeah. Well, it's fine if you do it once in a while, but like now everyone does it. It's like they're told they have to dance.
Pete, it's their one half hour of their life they get to be on TV. Let them dance.
Focus and win the game.
Focus. Focus.
Stop buying vowels on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, that's the worst.
Waste of money.
Pete must be a real treat to watch TV with in that.
This is one of the great Pete takes ever. Pete, as the Nick Saban, Bill Belichick of game show contestants, focus, do your job, okay? Quit all the me stuff here. Quit the dancing. Stop being distracted. Go out, win the game, okay?
You get a nice big check afterwards.
My trash is basically a caricature of myself. It is the most predictable thing ever. I got caught on one of those slide shows, those online slide shows of 80s sitcom stars then and now. And, you know, the tease slide, I forget who it was, but I'm like, oh, I want to see how whoever that was looks now. I haven't seen a picture of that person now. Of course, I remember that person. So if I start clicking, and each slide is a different page. And it takes a different load time. And this is taking me like 20 minutes to get through the slideshow. And I'm like, I got to go. I got to leave this laptop right now, except I really want to see that. I forget who this was. But I'm going through gobs of 80 sitcom stars then and now. I'm like, okay, where is the person that I was looking for that the thumbnail was? I just want to see that one person that I can leave. And of course, all these thumbnail slideshows do is they put that thing that was from the teaser slide at the very end. So you got to get through like 200 of these. And I'm just sitting there wasting my time. But I'm so invested now. I'm like 55 slides in. You don't want to bail because you feel like it's right around the corner. And I'm just sitting to myself going, this algorithm got me. It nit me. I'm the idiot here because they know that I will sit around to the end. Well, you know what? I fought back. I didn't stick around to the end. I bailed on that before I saw Gary Coleman then and now. And so that's it. I'm not going to be sucked in anymore. These slideshows, take a hike, get them out.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Good for you.
Yeah, you definitely don't have time to watch Breaking Bad, for sure.
That Gary Coleman now slide.
By the way, just Google who you were looking for then and now, and you probably get the images popping up.
Yeah, probably in like 0.003 seconds. And instead, I sat around for 19 minutes clicking through a stupid slideshow. Patrick tweets, I'm trashing Bruce Arians, going for two early in the second quarter to chase points from a missed extra point of the first. You don't need to do that early in the game. It left them open for a tie late. It also cost me Tampa Bay -8.5. Get him out.
Stinky debris.
Dixieland Dan, I'm trashing the fat middle-aged woman who told me the other day at Walgreens that I was too old to be buying Pokemon cards. We all have hobbies, and I've had this one since I was a kid. Shut your pie hole and worry about what you're going to order at Chili's later. Please, trash her.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
So I don't know if we needed that she was fat. I mean, you could have told the story without that part. It
always comes back to people's weight.
Okay, Robin Topeka tweets, I need to tread lightly on this trash because maybe she's listening. I want to trash in-car singers, preferably my wife. I'm driving along trying to listen to Wildcard Weekend. She has her AirPods in, singing away. Newsflash, you're not Mariah Carey. Don't quit your day job. Get her out.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Get them out.
Jeremy tweets, I'm trashing people who still put people on speakerphone to have personal conversations. We don't need to know why you're feuding with your in-laws. Hashtag girlfriend. Hashtag trash Tuesday.
Sanitation just arrived.
Girlfriend.
L. Johnny tweets, I'm trashing the total bleep show. Named the Houston Texans for making Deshaun Watson pissed off. Hashtag fire Easterby. Girlfriend. Trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Girlfriend.
Daniel tweets, I'm trashing Ohio State coach Ryan Day for falling apart in the big game again. Hashtag, how could it happen? Hashtag, trash him.
Illegal dumping.
Cigar City Cap. Sorry. Cigar City Capo tweets, I have to trash you, DA, for your take on Bucks fans during hour number two of Friday's show. The expatriates have jumped aboard this ship with the fair weather Bucks fans. The toxicity of their fandom is spreading faster than the coronavirus. The streets are no longer safe. Hashtag trash them.
Illegal dumping.
I forget specifically what I said, but I think I said I don't hate Brady, Gronk, the Bucks, like maybe some other Patriots haters do. I'm totally ambivalent towards the Buccaneers, that they don't carry any of the same hatred that I have for the Patriots. Now, Mraz feels differently. Do you feel even more of a burning hatred now that Brady got through his first playoff game?
Yes. Not only that, when Antonio Brown scored the touchdowns, Brady and him celebrating, I was sick on Saturday night. And, I mean, geez, we're loading Brady Braze Part 3 up like the first two games were these epic contests. The second game, we were asleep in the first quarter. I mean, enough with the Brady this, Brady that. I can't take it anymore. Retire. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that he's at least in the divisional round. He's not retiring this year. So he's definitely coming back for next year. And do you think, I mean, at this point in time, would you guess that 2021 is his last year?
He might play till he's 50. I'm ready to tap out of the mat.
Before this season, I said he's got 2 years left, that he would play this year in 2021. Now I feel like he'll play 2 years after this one. He'll play 2021 and 2022.
How is that possible?
I don't know. But that would hit 45, right? That would hit him at 45 years old, which is what his target has always been.
There are people who die of heart attacks by 45. He's slinging it all over the yard.
Not.
Yeah, that's a little young.
I didn't mean everybody. I meant there are some.
Okay. Yesterday, we did Stunned to a News, and Bogus found a great story actually passed along to us from a listener, Moose, who runs the Up the Gut Instagram blog, of a dog that had a long-stemmed, a long axe in its mouth, and a postal worker took a picture of it and said, I'm not dealing with any dog with an axe in its mouth. So we did an axe-wielding dog story yesterday, which led to, as you know, Shep, who produced the show a couple of weeks ago, had infamously showed up to work on 40 hours no sleep because he has five other jobs, he said, and one of which is a dog walker. So we got into a bit about how Shep would walk the construction zone dogs, because this is just a lot to uncover or a lot to pull back here. Cap had made the graphic of the dog with the axe also having a construction helmet on and a level. And we were saying he was running a construction zone, and these would be the types of dogs that Shep would walk. And so I started doing my Shep impersonation of the types of dog factoids he would talk about and having to walk the construction zone dogs. And this got Mraz really laughing. And I always get such a kick out of when I get Mraz really, really laughing. So I kept going and kept going and kept going. And he kept laughing and laughing and laughing more and more and more, to where he was starting to unable to kind of like speak. He was choking. And then there comes a point where Mraz turns beet red, holds his fist over his mouth, if you were watching on the simulcast, and is gagging. And then grunts out, I can't talk. I can't talk. And we didn't know what was going on. Like, okay, laughing is one thing. And as Bogus said, he sounded like the Penguin from Batman 2, which Katie Lindahl dressed up as for Halloween. And he's like, I can't talk. I can't talk. And he gets up and leaves the screen, to which we see the pajama bottoms on Mraz. We then go to break and we come back and say, what happened? And Mraz ends up on that he had coughed up something, namely a bone shard. A bone shard from eating wings on Saturday. So I'm listening to this. I said to my wife, I said, you have to listen to this segment. It's the most ridiculous segment that we've had in a long time. She listens to it and the audio stops and the bourbon bell says, this is like if you pulled up like a trophy fish and then under it was a buried treasure. Like you thought the fish itself was good enough. It was great enough. And then you found out that Mraz ate wings 2 days ago, swallowed a chicken bone, and coughed it up during the show? And yes, all of that happened. Let's play for you a segment of how this unfolded yesterday on the show.
Did you ever know it was a bunch of terriers that built Levittown? With their very own paws back in 1952, man.
Good morning, Jody.
Saturday's lunch.
Which lunch?
Mraz is coughing up a lung.
We should go to a break before he dies.
Oh, let's keep it going.
I can't talk. I can't
talk. He looks like the penguin.
I can't talk.
More than Katie Lewis.
Pink and red. What is going on?
I can't. I can't talk. I can't talk. Oh. I can't talk.
Just, I can't talk.
Oh, I can't talk.
So, Mraz, describe to us how exactly this happens. How do you cough up a chicken bone? Usually that's like what happens in a garbage disposal, but it just lodged in your lung for 2 days?
I love these wings near me, and I got him Saturday night, and it was the end of the Seahawk-Ram game, and I had a flat. And I went to clean the flat, and like the bone snapped, and half of the bone on one of the sides of the flat went down with the meat. But it was such a thin bone that I started choking immediately, and I couldn't get it up. And my chest hurt all day Sunday. It did. It hurt all day Sunday, but I had a couple laughs Saturday, and wasn't thinking anything of it. So when we went to do that chip and I started laughing, the laugh must have shook everything down in my pipes up. And I knew all of a sudden I felt something come up and get lodged in my throat. And when I did, I got up and he said, but John Pitts, I have a staircase right there. And I grabbed the railing of the staircase and I was coughing a little more and out came the little piece of bone. So it had sat for nearly 36 hours inside my body and never passed through the digestive system and was still able to be regurgitated back up.
I can't believe you impaled yourself on a wing for 36 plus hours.
I can.
It didn't puncture a lung.
Did DA save your life?
Maybe. And honestly, I'd forgotten about it. You know, it's one of those things. It was small enough that I just assumed, all right, I swallowed a bone. We'll figure it out. People swallow stuff all the time.
We'll figure it out. It's like taking a sack on third down. You know, we're going to punt away. We'll figure this out of the next drive. Let's just try to tilt the field.
Reset.
And again, everyone swallows things. I've never swallowed a bone or
never.
A cold. Like, what are you talking
no,
about?
Never.
Everyone swallows things.
Bogish. Clearly, I was being a real slob when I was eating the wings. I was really cleaning them. The bone was fragile. It snapped. It was a stabbing piece in me. I felt it. I felt my chest hurt all day Sunday. But I assumed, not to be too graphic, that it would pass through my system. I didn't know it would come back up from laughing about Shep on a Monday during the show. If it just passed through, it would have happened. It would have been like passing a kidney stone. And nobody would have known about it.
Crunching and munching.
So when you were laughing on the show, the bone's not actually up in your mouth yet. It's just getting dislodged. And then you get up from the microphone and you brace yourself against the staircase. And at that point, you cough it up.
It comes up like that. And I ended up cleaning it up. I flushed it down the toilet.
And so you then had a bone from 2 days ago back up in your mouth.
Yes. Now, again, we're on Monday morning. This is Saturday night. So, I mean, it wasn't a full 2 days. It was a day and a half.
Oh, it was only 36 hours.
What do you think happens here, Bogues? I mean, does the shard of the wing bone just remain in Mraz's lung area for the rest of his life? Does it eventually get digested? I mean, that seems crazy that you could just have this foreign object floating around your esophagus for 2 days.
I mean, I'm certainly not qualified to answer this, but like everything I've learned and knew about like how your digestive system worked is that like it had to get stuck on something. It can't just not progress like down your throat into your stomach. It had to literally be like stuck in something to prevent it from being moved downward. So I again, I say it half jokingly. you might have somehow saved his life yesterday, because I don't know what that was going to happen with that ball if it just sat there not getting dislodged at some point.
I had a lot of bread on Saturday, too, so I'm starting to wonder if maybe, you know, bread had big pieces and it almost created like a Sleep Number mattress within my throat, and somehow nothing was getting through and the bone was just kind of sitting there, bouncing up and down, giving its Sleep Number. I don't know.
I'm going to take back my my bones.
Again, guys, I understand how ridiculous it is, but if you lived my life, a bone shard coming up is the least of my worries.
I mean, it is amazing that you still fit into your XL jersey after all these years. Congrats on that.
Because I'm not digesting food full enough. That's why I'm not as fat as I could be.
Small victories.
Just think about how that unfolded. It goes from a dog wielding an axe in Stunned to a News to a construction zone dog to Shep's walking in the construction zone dogs to Mraz coughing because he's laughing so much to he can't talk. And then to a bone from 2 days earlier from a chicken wing he ate, of course, being coughed up.
So you can make the case that Moose, who runs an Instagram page about the food I make to watch football, actually saved my life from the food I eat watching football killing me because he submitted the Stunned to the News story.
Oof. Multiple people yesterday said it didn't seem like you guys were all that concerned that Mraz could be dying. And I guess I just have seen this bit so many times before where you have an oopsie, you burp up something else. It sounds like you're going to puke. You want, you know, it just kind of feels like you're always in physical distress.
No question.
So I didn't take it too seriously. And it was great that it was happening on camera because then I knew that Cap was capturing it. I didn't want to go to commercial break and then something really great happens. Like, you know, yeah. The bone actually comes up on camera.
Right. Or I am dead and Connor Green gets the job. Right. Either way. Right.
Either way, we win.
It's a win-win situation content. There.
But yeah, all day on Twitter, people, you dead yet? You learn your lesson? You fat? You this? You that? Not once did I get a, are you okay? It was basically praying for death.
You know? Do you know who asked if you were okay?
Your wife?
My mom,
wow.
Who has still not forgiven you for the career takedown of like 3 summers ago. I talked to her yesterday after the show, and she said, she didn't say your name. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but she said, is he okay after that coughing thing?
It's nice.
I said, yes, Sean is okay, Mom.
For Bogish's mom, you are he who shall not be named.
Yep.
That's nice. Tell her thank you. I am okay, guys. I'm fine. And I'm right back on the horse. I had wings again yesterday after I coughed it up.
Way
I had
to go.
Left over in the fridge.
There you go. As you said, we'll figure it out. I swallowed a chicken bone. We're just going to punt away here, and we'll figure it out. We'll make adjustments at halftime. We'll eat wings again.
It'll pass on this side or the other. That was my thought. I can't talk. I can't talk. I have felt great since, by the way. I feel so much looser.
I bet.
My breathing's better, everything.
Yeah, I bet.
Maybe he was in there longer. Maybe this wasn't from Saturday night.
Actually, I should say my breathing's better. My wife did say as I was falling asleep last night, I sounded like her father, who smokes 2 packs a day breathing. So there might be some breathing issues still left over.
I would love Mraz to just be asleep on the couch snoring, and then that's when the bone comes up, and Danielle looks over and is just like a chicken bone. Oh, sorry.
It gets hit by some
throws
shrapnel.
It onto the floor. It's like a stray cat just like hocking up a hairball. Here comes the chicken bone.
Give him some butter.
What's for breakfast?
I can't pass.
Oh, all right, Mr. Bogish has our headline of this morning. Mr. Bogish, what do we got?
Dia, you mentioned this earlier this hour. Nick Saban now has 7 national titles. That is one more than Bear Bryant, but there is still no comparison in Saban's eyes.
I think Coach Bryant is, you know, sort of in a class of his own in terms of what he was able to accomplish, what his record is. And, I mean, he's the one that made Alabama and the tradition at Alabama a place where lots of players wanted to come.
Saban now has 6 titles with Alabama after bulldozing Ohio State in Miami last night, 52-24. Devontae Smith caught 2 touchdown passes in the final 3:20 of the first half to blow the game open for good. The Heisman winner played only the first half, though, because of a finger injury. still had 12 catches for 215 yards and three touchdowns. The Ohio State offense scored 17 points in the game's first 20 minutes, only seven in the final 40. Justin Field threw for just 194. Running back Trey Sermon injured on his first carry and did not return. And before the game, there were reports that Bill O'Brien will be Bama's new offensive coordinator. Steve Sarkisian officially moves on as Texas head coach today. The Eagles added themselves to the list of teams looking for a head coach yesterday, firing Doug Peterson. Owner Jeffrey Lurie said Deuce Staley, one of their assistants, will likely be a candidate to replace Peterson, while Peterson might become the leading candidate for the Jets' job. And Raiders running back Josh Jacobs will not face DUI charges for last week's single-car crash. Jacobs' blood alcohol level was under the legal limit. His only charge is failure to exercise due care in crashing his car. In the
Cap is playing a slow mo of me dying right now in the four box.
It's amazing. I mean, we've got one of those quad box things going, and right now there's just a slow motion replay of Mraz coughing up a lung.
And if anyone's questioning you, like, exaggerating this, the unnatural red color you are right now in this video is proof that this is a real life threatening situation. My goodness. In the NBA last night, Gordon Hayward scored 34 as the Hornets routed the Knicks, 109-88. 34 as well for Bradley Beal. His Wizards beat the Suns, 128-107. Meanwhile, the Mavs and Pelicans didn't play last night. No Bulls, Celtics tonight. While
Bogus is such
is
a professional right now, guys. Can I just tell you, he is just such a freaking pro's pro. If you are watching at watchda.com or on Twitch at CBS Sports Radio, you are hearing the words come out of Bogus's mouth right now. He's doing a wonderful, splendid update. No ums, no stammers, no mistakes. And he is watching under him Mraz choke to death. There's a slow motion like we are watching a turnover in the final 2 minutes of a playoff game. We've got to go to the official booth and watch it from every angle in slow-mo. Right now, Kaplan has all angles. He's got like the 4K camera slow-mo from the Fox NFL broadcast. Yes.
And if this was Sunday afternoon, I'd make a just the tip joke right now. Like just the tip of the wing got in there. And speaking of Sean and eating, let's get stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, we've had too many crossovers on this front, on this show. Man eats dog's food and or poop. Dog eats man's food. And now Ben and Jerry's is doing us no favors by launching a line of frozen dog treats. The two flavors are pumpkin and peanut butter with pretzels, which are definitely going to confuse Sean. However, they are healthy enough. They're healthy, so maybe he'll avoid them because of that. They're made from sunflower butter. But Ben and Jerry's is laying traps everywhere for people who struggle between human and dog food by making delicious sounding dog food that you can now buy in your grocers later this month.
So you're going to put like a Chunky Monkey or one of the other delicious Ben and Jerry's human brands right next to doggy cookies and peanut butter, or pumpkin with cookies or peanut butter with pretzels, and not think doofuses across the country are going to be reaching for the doggy desserts and eating it? You're crazy. You're right. This is going to cause all types of gastrointestinal distress from people that are just housing all these doggy desserts from Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, and me and my dog last night just split some vanilla. We both ate out of the same bowl on the floor watching the national championship game.
Gross.
So I'm assuming that this is really going to make him angry if I give him his own ice cream and we don't share it like we usually do.
Tell me how that works. How do you eat out of the same bowl?
So I lay down on my stomach. He lays down on his stomach. He licks the bowl and I use a spoon. We do this a couple times. I don't care. It's my dog. We have fun.
Are you sure you use a spoon?
Gross.
I do. I put three scoops of vanilla in there, and I say, all right, Eli, you ready to go? And me and him lay down, and we eat the ice cream together. It's something I like doing, having fun with him.
Hey, it's very Lady and the Tramp of you.
Yeah.
So which of these two flavors do we think sound better for the dog? Is it pumpkin with cookies or peanut butter with pretzels?
I think it's peanut butter with pretzels. I think those are two of dog's favorite things. Pumpkin's very seasonal for a dog. I think the peanut butter.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Eli only likes pumpkin stuff from about Labor Day through Thanksgiving. Oh, really? He loves peanut butter and pretzels all throughout the year.
He eats what? He drinks pumpkin lattes during the fall to get into the mood?
I'm telling you, there are certain like pumpkin-flavored items, like the treats and stuff. You give it to him around Christmas time, he's not interested anymore. But peanut butter pretzels all year.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
After Mraz coughed up a chicken bone from 36 hours earlier yesterday morning, I wanted to just simply ask this question. Have you ever coughed up a chicken bone from 2 days earlier? And I just wanted to know if anybody would say yes. 92% said no, which means 8% of our audience, 8 out of 100, have once in their lives coughed up a chicken bone from 2 days earlier. 2 years ago, a study said there were around 1.6 deaths from choking per 100,000 people in a population. A California jury has recently awarded nearly $2.5 million to a woman who said she almost died when a chicken bone pierced her esophagus while eating at a Round Table pizza restaurant. I don't know how this happens. I just can't understand how I could, number one, swallow a chicken bone. Those are big. That's not what they're supposed to do. You're not supposed to eat that. You should probably slow down your eating if the bone's coming down with the meat. Be a little more careful. But then also that you wouldn't just gag on it and hock it up right there. Mraz said it lodged into somewhere in his throat for the last 2 days, and we only got it up because I made him laugh so much. Jeez. Devastating turn of events there. Thank God we saved you. We saved your life.
I'm starting to think of all the butterfly effects of this. I'm starting to think, did Shep and his lifestyle actually save my life?
I can't talk.
Somebody though was looking out for you, Sean, because I had that story saved from Moose, I think, like, at least last week, maybe even farther back than that. So that was not a news story. I knew it happened before Christmas. So I only happened to pull it up yesterday because there was nothing else new in the places I normally look. So something made me go back to pull this forward, to use it yesterday to dislodge this chicken wing from your throat.
It's truly amazing. Everything fell in place for me to have my life saved and not have that thing go further down my intestines. Who knows? Ulcers could have happened.
I just really want to thank you guys here for letting me work on the show. I mean, I might be working on 6.5 weeks, no sleep, but man, you got to realize, man, the dogs that I'm walking, they're putting in an open floor kitchen plan, okay? And it's hard to get that island in there, man. We got marble, granite countertops, man. It's not easy. And stainless steel appliances. Man, these dogs, they're going to be taken out all the time, man.
This is why you need to watch the show on Twitch or watch the everyday, because it's not just the impersonation that gets me. DA closes his eyes and nails the Shep mannerisms with it. It's the best impersonation he does. And if you've ever choked on a chicken bone, it's just the perfect thing to watch to get it up.
Trash is coming in. Jay tweets, I'm trashing people who don't clean up after their own dogs, especially when it's in somebody else's yard and you live in an apartment complex. Hashtag be an adult trash Tuesday.
Illegal dumping.
Ralph tweets, have you ever coughed up a chicken bone from 2 days earlier? No, but the sound Mraz makes sounds like me when I accidentally swallow toothpaste. Hashtag somebody call the Boulder Fire Department.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
David tweets, Mraz choking on that bone sounds like the dog choking on the bone under the table in Christmas Vacation. Got it up. Got it up.
There it is.
Brian, DA, please let Mraz know that a kidney stone comes out of a different hole than what he swallowed the chicken bone with. Hashtag not a doctor. Alien OG tweets, I know it's only Tuesday, but I got an Ask the Pro. Has anybody ever died on a live sports radio show? Hashtag Ask the Pros. He also says, I'm trashing people who eat chicken bones. What are you, a werewolf mining for bone marrow? Trashing.
So frustrating.
Daryl is trashing a certain inspector last week who decided to show up 20 minutes before quitting time last week, randomly, to be a jerk about the whole thing anyway. Show up at the beginning of the day, not the end. Trash him.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
Nathan tweets, I'm trashing people who start every word of a tweet with a capital letter. Capitals are for the beginning of the sentence and proper nouns. It ain't rocket science. Get them right or get them out. Trash Tuesday.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Reed tweets from the beach, I'm trashing any sports media playing the Kareem Hunt revenge angle this week. Unless revenge is on Kareem Hunt, it's not a thing. What happened is on him. That said, as a Chiefs fan, I never unfollowed him. I'm glad that he's doing well. Trash that narrative.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
And finally, Greg is trashing exercising. I was going for a bike ride last week, and as I was trying to get the Year of the Buffoon to play on my phone, I wrecked and broke my collarbone. Now I've got surgery Friday. Trash Tuesday.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Oh, jeez.
Putting people in the hospital.
Year of the Buffoon was worth it to listen to, as long as it didn't break a collarbone. It was really good, but not collarbone breaking worthy.
So Shep might have saved my life, and my idiocies inevitably led to somebody breaking their collarbone?
Yeah, Shep saved your life, but killed another guy. Crashed on a bike.
Oh, man.
So we're
life
breaking
is
even.
Nuts.
Give that keeps on giving the whole year.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. The big win of the day is not just that Mraz survived gagging on a chicken bone, I can't talk, but also that he fits into his high school XL Maurice Claret jersey, which he's wearing today. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's actually, I had this junior year in high school, so the fact that it fits well, I just want to show that I'm not as fat as I looked yesterday when I was choking on the chicken bone.
Wow. So you can still fit into something that you fit into in high school.
Yep. XL, too.
Keep it going, Carbs.
Big XL, folks. So for all the fat jokes that I got yesterday on Twitter when they saw me choking, how fat's Mraz? Mraz going to drop dead of a heart attack. I am fitting perfectly in an extra large jersey from the year 2004. So everybody wanted to call me fat yesterday and I was going to drop dead on set. Just know I'm good to go.
Is that jersey cut bigger than your normal jersey?
No, this is a standard XL Nike jersey from the year 2004. Now, I will say, yes, they make the fabric a little like tighter knit. These are like the old mesh style. Uh-huh. So I understand there probably is more room to breathe, but it's not like I personally resized this thing to fit me like it's a tent. I can't talk.
And why are you wearing a hat, and what hat is that?
Well, I'm wearing the hat.
Is that your national championship hat?
No, this is a hat I got for my wife for Christmas that simply has my Twitter handle on it. So,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. And you want to take shots at Schwartz for self-promotion?
No, this was laying out, and again, my head looked so shiny yesterday. I think I need to mix up wearing hats on set. I am looking balder and fatter and more like Uncle Fester with every clip that gets posted on Twitter. I don't want. So I am now very self-conscious. I got bombarded yesterday by people. You're going to die. You're going to die. And people taking solace in that I'm going to die.
Now, did your wife get you a hat that simply has your Twitter handle on it as kind of a gag gift? Or do you really want a hat to be a walking billboard to promote yourself?
It's on your Christmas list.
Mraz is coughing up a lung.
It is absolutely gotten by her as a gag gift because she thinks I have an ego and I need to be put in check. So now you think so highly of yourself, you walk around with your Twitter handle on it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I can't talk will never not make me laugh. I kind of feel like that's maybe the new koozie for the DA show. I can't talk!
No, I can't talk!
We should make a Sean bobblehead that plays that.
Which you're actually talking.
I can't talk!
I can't. No, you can talk. Maybe you can't breathe, but you can talk because you're saying the words, I can't talk.
I can't talk.
I can't talk.
It sounds like a pterodactyl in a Godzilla movie.
I can't talk.
Tomorrow morning on the show, big, big morning. We're going to do college football and moving ahead to 2021 with Chip Patterson and wake your ass up. Brian Jones is going to join us tomorrow morning on the show. And we have some damning evidence of Peter Schwartz's January 1st, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day meal. And it deserves a real deep dive. So that is coming up tomorrow morning on the DA show.
There's your look ahead.
Spiraling out of control by the day. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the show.
I can't talk.
Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel and audio, a director. Thanks to Andrew Abogish on your headline. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
I can't talk.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.